Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate, along with my co-host for our monthly ethics session, Difficult Decisions in Healthcare. Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities joins me this morning. Good morning, Dr. Eastwood.
Good morning, Tricia.
And welcome back. We have quite a conversation, and actually 2 months worth, don't we?
We have 2 months. We're going to do some of it this month, and stay tuned for next month.
Talking about?
About healthcare and healthcare reform.
Oh, boy. Big, big conversation. So I hope folks are braced. I'd say pull out the popcorn and just sit in and listen to what we have to talk about. Actually, what we want to do is address the whole conversation of healthcare reform as it relates to ethical questions. And I guess I would like to say we need to remember as we begin that what healthcare reform is about in the United States right now is really about the cost of care and not the quality of care, even though many of the ethics questions relate to quality of care. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Well, that's a fair assessment. You know, we'll take what we can get, though. We'll address the cost and address the quality maybe later.
That's okay. That's what we'll do. Now, you wanted to talk about some principles of ethics that might be related to all these questions that come up in the healthcare reform conversations. Big words that I can barely pronounce, but if you could explain to us what those principles are, they would be great.
Well, there are four major principles that most bioethicists rely on as a framework within which to work. Of course, there are many other principles as well. Those four begin with beneficence. That's a big word, but means doing good. And the roots of that go way back at least to Hippocrates 2,500 years ago. And the purpose of being a physician and working in healthcare as a nurse and other healthcare person is to do good.
Beneficence. Do good, right. Beneficence, which beneficial. I mean, it's the same root.
Yeah, we can figure it out. That's
okay,
right.
There you go.
Bene.
Yeah, okay.
And then another word, which is sometimes hard to say, is non-maleficence. So that means avoiding harm. It doesn't mean first do no harm, which many people think we are enjoined to do, but it means to avoid harm. And it means that we have to balance the good and the ill that we're doing. If first do no harm was the first thing, physicians and others in healthcare would basically be paralyzed. Your doctor who's treating you for your cancer or your surgeon who's cutting you would not harm you and therefore not be able to do anything good for you.
Right.
But we try to balance doing good and avoiding harm in everything we do. The third is autonomy. And this is something that's relatively new, meaning over the past several decades, something that Hippocrates didn't have much appreciation for, but we value a lot. In other words, we want to be able to make our decisions ourselves, informed decisions, and we place a high value on our own autonomy or making our own decisions.
And in many ways, we do that more here in the United States of America than other parts of the world do, don't
they? It's characteristic of us in the United States and so-called Western cultures, but I think people in other cultures are beginning to understand that, too.
Okay.
And the fourth and last is justice. And I think most people can relate to the term justice. Justice applies to the individual, what is the right thing or the just thing to do. But it also has a social connotation. What is just in relation to the people that I live with, the people in this country, and people around the world?
Okay.
So we get into things like payment, you know, what is the just thing to do? If it costs so much, should that money be spent on something else? Those kinds of issues.
Now, it's not justice as we talk about, say, criminal justice. This
no.
is justice in what is right in the big picture, would you say?
Yeah, what's right in the big picture.
As opposed to autonomy, that's what is right for me.
I think that's a good way of characterizing
it. All right.
It.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. We've got some big questions, and we want to throw these out to our listeners just so they know the kinds of directions we're going in. Some things that are not easily answerable, that may have some ethics connotations. And some of these we will cover over our big conversation. Others we probably won't address until October. But if you will, share those questions with us.
I'll go through some questions, and listeners will think of other questions or questions that are related to these. But one question is it right that insurance companies receive our premiums but refuse to pay some claims or delay paying? That may reflect a little bias right up front, but I think many people have had that experience.
Denial of care.
Denial of care.
Pre-existing conditions.
That's exactly
all those
it.
Kinds of things. Okay.
Another question, is it right that companies profit from illness? Now, these companies are not only insurance companies, but pharmaceutical companies, even some hospitals. There are some for-profit hospitals and some not-for-profit. So
absolutely.
Is that right?
And do we, in America, do we look at healthcare as a way of making money from sickness as opposed to curing illness?
That's right. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a for-profit company. This is the tradition that physicians have charged a fee, and that's how physicians get paid.
Exactly. And in some ways it seems very fair, and in other ways it looks like it gets in the way of good care.
That's right. And I want to point out that each of these businesses that I assailed, insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies and some hospitals, really are legitimate businesses.
Well, absolutely they are.
And they contribute to the economy.
Yes, they do. And if you look at insurance companies in particular that are owned by investors, by law, they have to please their investors before they do the patients they take care of.
That's right.
How the law is written. So it's not that they're doing something wrong. It's just they're working within the system as it exists.
They're not doing something wrong legally, but then it's reasonable to ask the ethical question, is that the right thing?
That's right. Very good.
And then another question is, do we in this country who have the means, not all of us have the means in this country, but many of us do, do we have an obligation to help other people, both in this country and other people who are poor, of course, and also what are our obligations to help poor people in other countries?
Mm-hmm.
This is a very interesting question. You know, it's very common for physicians and others who are not physicians to go overseas to Africa, South America, to help the plight of the people who live there.
Sure.
And of course, right here in Syracuse, we have need. And up in northern part of the state, we have need. So I'm not saying one is right or the other. I've gone overseas.
Sure.
But that's a legitimate question. Do we have obligations? And where should those obligations, if we do, where should they be met?
And even taking that a step further, do we have obligations? But beyond that, does it benefit us to be helping people who do not have the same means as we might have? Are there medical health-related benefits?
Mm-hmm.
Are there money-related benefits? And those are some of the questions being addressed by healthcare reform.
And then the last question I posed, I realize, again, there are many other questions. If we argue that we want to preserve freedom of choice, which is an argument in the current healthcare
debate. Freedom of choice and how we pay for healthcare.
How we pay for healthcare, right. Which doctor we see, where we get this healthcare,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that might mean. Does that freedom of choice apply only to those with access to healthcare?
Mm.
What about those who do not have access to healthcare or their access is limited because they don't have health insurance?
Absolutely.
Do they have freedom of choice
mm-hmm.
too?
You know, these are huge questions, so we're not going to just try to give answers right now. We're not even going to try to give sides to them. We're going to go through the bigger conversation and see if we can at least help people figure out their own answers to some of these questions. So let's begin with another big one that says, why does reform need to even take place? Why are we even looking at healthcare reform right now?
Well, you can argue that from a moral or ethical point of view. You can argue it from a legal point of view. You can argue it from a financial point of view. From a moral point of view, in this country, we don't think twice about providing other public goods. We provide education, free education. Now, of course, you can pay for private education, but everyone has access to free education. We don't even think about arguing about police and fire protection, that just is there.
Those are things that happen. You know, we provide libraries and we provide parks,
but
we don't provide health care. So
right.
I have to ask, is health care a right or a responsibility?
Well, I think this is up to everybody to come to that decision. We know that the people who live in most European countries that we compare ourselves with socioeconomically, and other advanced countries around the world, don't argue about that. They've already had that argument, and they've decided that health care is a public good, along with clean water, education, police, and fire, and
right.
so on.
So when you're born in that country, you automatically get health care. That's what
right.
it is.
And even if you're not born in some of those countries, in
there
England,
you
if you're an immigrant that mm-hmm. hasn't established citizenship yet, or just a visitor,
mm-hmm.
just somebody on a tour, you do get health care.
You do. But in this country, you do not.
That's correct.
And that is one of the big questions. And we have what the estimates run everywhere between 30 and 50 million Americans right now who do not have health care coverage. They do not have health insurance. Therefore, they don't have access unless they pay out of their pockets. But we find that most facilities and doctors will not allow you to pay out of your pocket anyway. So in effect, they don't have care.
That's right. And they do have care of sorts because they can come to an emergency department such as the one at Upstate Medical University or somewhere else, and they will get care.
If it's an emergency. But if you have diabetes and you don't know it, you can't walk into an emergency room and be tested for it and then be told how to take care of it. And so if you have diabetes and you don't have access to health care, then you can't necessarily get the kind of care you need.
That's true. And maybe this is a good point to bring up the health status of people without health insurance.
Okay.
Now, of course, people without health insurance is a moving group. Some people move in and out of that category over a short period of time. But there is a substantial number of the 47 or 48 million people in this country. That's a lot of people who stay there without health insurance. So what can we say about their health status? And this has been looked at by the Kaiser group in California several years ago. First of all, they delay seeking health care. They're sicker when they get to health care. They get less surgical and medical treatment, and their health characteristics are less, and they have a higher mortality.
Right, and then they end up either going bankrupt and or they end up not paying for their care at all, and then we all pay out of our pockets for their care.
Medical bankruptcy is a unique thing of this country.
That's right. Nowhere else, as far as I know, in the world.
That's right.
Can people be bankrupted because of health care? You know what, Dr. Eastwood, we're already coming up on the news. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up on our conversation. We'll start talking about how health care is paid for today and some of these other aspects, rationing and all these big words we've been hearing, and talk about them in an ethical context. So listeners, please do stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.